I will now talk about the content of research ethics and say something about the central norms of research ethics. So, to some degree, the ethical challenges one meets as a researcher depends on the kind of research one does. So the historian working in archives, the researcher interviewing children in the children's garden, or the medical researcher testing out a new form of treatment will meet different ethical challenges. There are nevertheless some core norms researchers will typically have to take into consideration when they do their research, even though the way these norms are applied can again depend from area of research to area of research. And it is these core norms I will now talk about. We should note that it is not only sort of explicitly formulated norms and principles which are important in research ethics. There's such a thing as good moral sense, good habits, gut feeling of no, this is not right, which also matter a lot in the application of research ethics and which come with experience, which we cannot necessarily be explicitly articulated in the same way that research ethical principles can. It's also important to note that we do not necessarily start with the principles when we think about research ethics. Sometimes just as much we start with a concrete situation, which we might encounter, which might be ethically challenging. And then we go to the research ethical norms to see how we can deal with that situation. At the same time, we might not always notice that the situation is ethically challenging if we do not have acquaintance with the research ethical norms, which tell us about the kind of things which can be problematic. So often in practice, a back and forth between the concrete situation in which we apply the research ethical norms and knowledge of these norms will be the most useful approach to research ethics. So what then are the norms of research ethics? It is a common and useful distinction to distinguish between, on the one hand, the norms which are internal to research and which regulates sort of the very activity of research and the research community, and the norms which are external to research and which regulate the relationship between researchers and their research participants on the one hand and society at large on the other hand. So if we start with the internal norms of research ethics, some of these have to do with the very core of research, the search for truth. There are some norms we have to abide by if it is to make sense to search for truth at all. These are norms having to do with freedom of research, for example, that the researcher is free to choose the topic of research and the methods by which one will investigate those topics. Norms having to do with impartiality and independence, which ensure that the findings one comes up with do not depend on sort of conflict of interest or pressure from funding sources, for example. Norms having to do with accountability, so that one can sort of show how one came to the result one came to. And related to this, what is often the core, seen as a core of the internal norms of research ethics, the ban on fabrication, falsification, and plagiarism. So making up data and stealing data is completely incompatible with the search for truth as such. We have a further set of norms which sort of regulate collegial relationships in research. So researchers work typically in a research community, and in order for that community to be well functioning, we have to respect certain norms, ensuring, for example, that those who deserve praise and merit for certain findings are those who get it. So we have norms of co-authorship, including bans on honorary authorships and making sure that those who should contact authors actually contact authors. We have norms on good citation practice, making sure that we say where we have taken something from when it's the findings of someone else. And we have norms, for example, saying who is responsible for what in research, such as norms talking about the moral responsibility of supervisors towards the work of their students or PhD candidates. So in addition to these internal norms of research ethics, we have, as I said, what we can call external norms, regulating the relationship between researchers and the outside world. And a first important set of norms have to do with ensuring that the research process in itself takes place in a morally acceptable way. To a large degree, and centrally, this is about the respect and protection of research participants, when research is done on human beings. But this is not only about human beings. Animal research requires norms of animal welfare, and for example, research on rare historical artifacts, which may be destroyed in the course of research, rely on research ethical norms regulating that field. Nevertheless, the core of this part of research ethics has to do with respect for the dignity of research participants. Large amounts of research are on human beings, either directly or information about human beings. And it's important to not use human beings simply as means for one-on-one research, but to treat them in a morally acceptable way. This involves, in the first instance, a duty to avoid harm. So one should not harm research participants unnecessarily. And to the degree that the research does involve the risk of harm, which sometimes research does, and which can be acceptable, any foreseeable harm must be balanced against the benefit for society at large. This is important in general, but it is particularly important when it comes to children and vulnerable groups. And one reason why that is particularly important is that they often will not have the capacity of informed consent, which adult research participants will have. And this points to a second main rule of research ethics, which is that when one does research on human beings, they should have given their informed consents. They should know what one is going to do to them, and they should have said that that is okay. And there are several reasons why we have these norms. One has to do simply with respect for the autonomy of other people. The other has to do with the risk of harm in research, where the requirement of consent works as a sort of safety valve. If people have to consent to what we do with them, typically the research will not be too harmful. But also when the research is harmful and would otherwise, without consent, be immoral, consent can make that acceptable. We can take on some risk of harm to ourselves. So avoidance of harm and informed consent are two major norms. When research involves information about people, which it very often does, we also have to ensure privacy and confidentiality so that one can participate in the research without personal information getting lost at large. Another set of external norms of research has to do with the relationship between the researchers and society at large, and the way in which society can expect to use and build on the research which the researcher does. We typically do not do research only for the sake of truth, but because we think the findings of our research can be useful for society. And in order for that to be the case, researchers have to respect some norms as well. So again, norms about accountability and impartiality, so that the users of the research can trust that the findings are actually correct. But also norms having to do with the responsibility for the choice of topic, so that the researchers has a certain duty to choose topics which are actually useful for society. And once one has done the research, norms would say that we have both a right and a duty to publish one's findings. So research cannot be used for the good of society if it remains hidden. And one should not, for example, hide the disagreeable findings in one's drawer. But when one presents a research, they must be presented in a manner which is not misleading, and which can be sort of society which receives this finding can trust that this is what the researchers has actually found. And we should remember that there's often an asymmetry in knowledge here between researchers who are specialists on the topic and between those members of society who want to use the research. So it's easy for researchers to use that asymmetry to sort of present the research in a misleading way, and we should not go into that temptation. And also, most members of society will not read sort of original research publications, but will depend on dissemination and participation in public debate on the part of researchers to get knowledge of these findings, so that there is a duty also on the part of researchers to disseminate and to participate in societal debates. But again, to do so in a way which do not abuse their sort of authoritative position as researchers. So to conclude, we can ask about these norms of research ethics. Are they about the very bare minimum, avoiding being completely moral? or are they about an ideal which you try to strive towards? And I think the answer is they are both. So some of the norms of research ethics are about the bare minimum, you know, the ban on fabrication and falsification of data, for example, or on, you know, harming research participants without their consent, are of that kind. But other of the norms of research ethics are such as that we try to sort of satisfy them, but we will perhaps never do so 100%.